De nuestra primera lectura en Eclesiastes, vanidad de vanidades, todas las cosas son vanidad. Luego, de nuestra segunda lectura de San Pablo, buscad lo de arriba. Finalmente, de nuestro evangelio, cuídate de la avaricia, porque aunque uno sea rico, su vida no consiste en posesiones. Al juntar estas lecturas, la Iglesia claramente está tratando de decirnos que nuestra vida no se trata de posesión material, se trata de vivir una vida oculta con Cristo en virtud para dar gloria a Dios en el cielo. Este es nuestro fin último, estar con Dios por toda la eternidad en el cielo. Esto significa que debemos eliminar las cosas de nuestra vida que nos impiden alcanzar este objetivo. Muchas veces lo que nos frena es estar obsesionados con nuestras posesiones, viéndolas como las más importantes. Esto no significa que no se nos permita poseer cosas o que las posesiones en sí mismas sean malas. En cambio, se trata de cómo usamos nuestras posesiones dirigiéndolas hacia un buen propósito, hacia nuestro fin último. Necesitamos buscar a Cristo en todo lo que hacemos. Él es el tesoro que estamos buscando. Jesús ilustra este punto con una palabra sobre un hombre rico que tiene una cosecha abundante. Decide derribar sus graneros y construir otros más grandes para almacenar su grano. Después de hacer esto, decide comer, beber, divertirte. Esto se desmorona cuando Dios exige la vida del hombre. Su gran almacenamiento de grano no puede salvarlo. Esto es cierto para nosotros. Ninguna cantidad de posesiones puede salvarte. No importa cuánto dinero tengas. Qué bien automenajes. Qué tan grande sea tu casa o lo que logres. Al final, lo que importa es vivir una vida centrada en Cristo, luchando por la virtud. ¿Qué significa vivir una vida de virtud? Es curioso. La Iglesia dice que una virtud es un hábito, una disposición para hacer el bien. Las virtudes son hábitos, por lo que lleva tiempo desarrollarlos y tenemos que practicarlas repetidamente. El bien debe ser su objetivo. Las virtudes naturales que edificamos son la prudencia, la justicia, la templanza y la fortaleza. Tenemos que educarnos y crecer en ellos. Las virtudes teologales son la fe, la esperanza y la caridad. Recibimos estas virtudes en nuestro bautismo. Las virtudes son cómo vivimos una vida como la de Cristo, una vida que nos ayudará en nuestro florecimiento como seres humanos. Nos lleva a la salvación. Podrías estar pensando, padre, eso suena como mucho. Pero tenemos que recordar que vivir la vida moral es gracia que viene del Señor. Tenemos que empezar con la oración, pidiéndole al Señor dónde quiere que crezcamos. Él nos mostrará si le preguntamos. Luego, permitimos que el Señor nos muestre formas prácticas en las que podemos crecer en virtud. Tomemos la codicia como ejemplo. La codicia va a encontrar en la justicia. Queremos más y no estamos satisfechos con lo que tenemos. Simplemente nos hacemos preguntas para ver dónde estamos. A esto se le llama examen conciencia. Por ejemplo, ¿cómo uso mis posesiones? ¿Están dirigidos a las cosas buenas de Dios o a impresionar a las demás? ¿Estoy alguna vez satisfecho con mis posesiones? ¿Quiere siempre una casa más bonita, un coche más grande o más rápido? Me preocupo constantemente por la ropa que uso. Quiero siempre las mejores y más caras marcas. O puedo simplemente ser feliz con la ropa que tengo. Me importa lo que los demás piensen de mí. Estoy obsesionado con mis estatus o con recibir honores de los demás. Estoy siempre tratando de seguir adelante. Acumulo mis posesiones pensando que tendré tiempo para mi salvación. Vivo una vida de fiesta, comiendo, viviendo o divirtiéndome. Podemos llevar la respuesta a estas preguntas al sacramento sanador de la confesión. Confesar la codicia puede traer sanidad a nuestra alma. Si comenzamos con esto, damos pequeños pasos para buscar las cosas del cielo y remover las cosas que nos alejan del Señor. Finalmente, en mi propia vida y vocación, tuve que considerar las posesiones materiales. Antes de ingresar al seminario, tenía un buen trabajo como periodista. Había ganado un dinero decente. Alquilé una bonita casa pequeña. Tenía buenos muebles. Vivía una vida cómoda. Pero el Señor exigió más de mí. Aunque tenía todas estas cosas, todavía sentía un vacío por dentro. El Señor me estaba llamando a dejar eso atrás y seguirlo. Entonces entré al seminario y me ordenaron al sacerdocio. Ahora ninguna de esas posesiones era mala, pero el Señor me estaba llamando a una vida más enfocada en Él, la vida que me llevaría la felicidad. So from our first reading, we get from Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. From our second reading, then, we get from St. Paul, seek what is above. And finally, from our gospel, we get, take care to guard against greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. By placing these readings together, the church is clearly trying to tell us that our life is not about material possessions. It's about living the hidden life with Christ in virtue and really giving glory to God in this life and in heaven. This is our final end, to be with God for all eternity in heaven. And this means that we need to remove things in our life that will hinder us from really attaining that goal. Oftentimes, what hinders us is being obsessed with our possessions, seeing those things as the most important, putting them above God. Now, this doesn't mean that we aren't allowed to own things or the possessions themselves are bad. Instead, it's all about how we're using our possessions, directing them towards a good purpose, toward our final end. And we need to seek Christ in all that we do, because he is really the treasure that we're seeking, which he talks about in parables elsewhere in the gospel. Jesus illustrates this point with a parable about a rich man who has a bountiful harvest, and he decides he's going to tear down his barns, he's going to build larger ones for all the grain that he needs to store up, and after he does this, he decides, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. He's going to live this kind of party lifestyle, if you will. And this falls apart when God demands the man's life. Because his large storage of grain can't save him. And this is the same with us too. Because no amount of possessions can save us. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how nice of a car you drive. Or it doesn't matter how big of a house you own. Or really what you accomplish. In the end, what matters is living a life focused on Christ and really striving for virtue, as much as our possessions can help us reach that end. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to live a life of virtue? Well, the church says that a virtue is a habit. It's a disposition for the good. That's how the catechism defines it. But virtues are habits. So a habit takes time to build. You have to do it repeatedly. If you play a sport, for example, you have to do that sport over and over again. Learn the fundamentals before you can do it. And it's the same with virtue. And then the good has to be its goal. You can't try and do a virtue to attain something that's evil. The natural virtues we build up are prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. And these are ones that we work on humanly. We have to be educated in them, to grow in them. And then we have the theological virtues that we receive from our baptism. So this is faith, hope, and charity, or sometimes called love. And these virtues, they are how we live a Christ-like life, a life that will help us to be flourishing human beings, that will lead us to salvation. And you might be thinking, Father, that sounds like a lot. That sounds pretty difficult. I'm not sure I can do that. I think I'm doing okay right now. But we have to remember that living the moral life is a grace that comes from the Lord. We have to begin with prayer, asking the Lord, where does he want us to grow? He'll show us if we ask him this question. Then we allow the Lord to show us in practical ways how we can grow in virtue. So I want to take greed as an example, or avarice, because that's what our gospel talks about tonight. Greed is something that goes against justice. We want to be more, we want more, and we're not really satisfied with what we have. So what we can do is just ask questions of ourselves to see where we are. We can do what's called examining our conscience. So here's some examples of some questions you can ask. How do I use my possessions? Are they directed towards the good things of God or just impressing others? Am I ever satisfied with my possessions? Do I always try to have a nicer house or a bigger, faster car? Do I constantly worry about the clothes that I wear? Do I always want the best, most expensive brands? Or can I just be happy with the clothes that I have? Do I care about what others think about me? Am I obsessed with my status or just receiving honors from others? Or am I always just trying to get ahead in life? Or do I store up my possessions thinking, I'll have time for my salvation. I'll have time to do these things. Do I live a life of partying, eating, drinking, being merry, instead of trying to work on the things in my life? And we can bring these answers to these questions, whatever they may be, to the healing sacrament of confession. Because confessing greed, it can help heal our soul. It's a big step in just confessing these things. And if we begin with this, we can take small steps to seeking the things of heaven and remove the things in our life that really take us away from the Lord. So I finally just want to end with a story just about my own life and vocation. I had to consider material possessions and their role in my life. Before I entered seminary, about 7 years ago, I had a nice job. I was a journalist for a newspaper. I made pretty decent money at it. I rented a nice small house, and I had pretty nice furniture. I lived a comfortable life, but the Lord demanded more of me. Even though I had all these things, I still felt this emptiness inside. It didn't satisfy everything in my life. And that's what material possessions sometimes can give us the illusion of, that will make us happy. But the Lord was calling me to leave that behind, calling me to follow him. And so I entered seminary, and then eventually, through a process, was ordained to the priesthood. Now, none of the possessions I just mentioned, like a house or a car or money, any of that is bad. But the Lord was calling me to be a life that was more focused on him. And that's what was going to lead me to happiness. And so I asked the question, where is the Lord calling you? And more importantly, how will you live that hidden life in him and grow in that life of virtue? ¿A dónde te está llamando el Señor? Y más importante aún, ¿cómo vivirás la vida escondida con él?